You know, I have to say I love you. And I thank God for you and your presence here. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'll tell you why in a couple minutes. Wednesday, I went to St. Patrick's Basilica downtown for a mass for deceased priests. Every November, the English clergy in Montreal, we gather together for this mass for all the priests who have died, and especially anyone who may have passed away during this year. And this is something I never miss. I really feel privileged to be there. And there are about, you know, there's about 30 of my brother priests who are there, and to be able to pray for those who have died. This week, we begin week two of our preaching series entitled Living for Eternity, in which we're looking at the really big picture of am I living my life here and now to prepare for eternal life? That mass I was at on Wednesday, it's always a vivid reminder that each and every one of us one day will pass away. And yet Jesus affirms in today's gospel, it's the whole point of today's gospel, is that there is a resurrection. That there will be a resurrection to eternal life with God. The question becomes, will we be there? Will our loved ones be there? Prior to that mass on Wednesday for deceased priests, we had a meeting for the English priests. We get together, and during that meeting, in part of the discussions, I really got the sense that there are a number of priests who are falling into despair. One priest there, he talked about being tired, about his parishioners being tired, of having fewer and fewer volunteers. And he kept using that word tired. And to me, I took that to really mean that he'd lost hope. He'd lost hope that the church can change, that our parishes can become vibrant, that our culture, our society is going to change. And I don't think he's alone in that sentiment. I think there are a lot of priests who have fallen into despair. I think there are a lot of people in our parishes across the city of Montreal who have lost hope. And it makes me truly sad to hear that. And so that's why I say I love you and I thank God for you. I thank God for this parish and for what we've been able to do over the past 3 years here at St. Ignatius. I thank God for what I see happening here, that because it fills me with hope for the future. It fills me with life and with gratitude. Do you know what? At Pentecost this year, we asked people to come forward if they'd had a transformative encounter with the Lord in the past year. And I was stunned that 97 people came up. That's 97 people this year who had this transformative encounter and are trying to align their life so that they are living for eternity. I'm so grateful to God for those people and that we've been able to help make that transformation happen. It fills me with such hope and how I wish that I could get my brother priests to see it, how I could get the church in Montreal to see it and gain some glimmer of hope through it. I'm so, so grateful, and I love you, and I thank you. But what would it look like? What would it look like if those 97 people who had their lives transformed by Christ this year, what if they were equipped to lead others into that transformation, to lead others to Jesus? What if they were equipped to reach beyond our parish? And what if they were then able to invite two people to that same transformational encounter with Jesus? What if we were able to double the number next year so that it's 200 people who have that life-changing encounter? Do you know at that rate of growth, within 5 years, we could impact and bring 6,200 people to an encounter with Christ? 6,200 people, That's huge. That's 15 times the number of people who are here right now. I venture to guess that if you calculated, if you went to every church this morning from here to the end of the island, so if you went west and you counted every Catholic church and went in and counted every person there with a little clicker, you wouldn't get to 6,200 people. I've been in a lot of those parishes. I know what the numbers are. I know what the priests say the numbers are, and I know what the actual numbers are. I don't think we get to 6,200 people from here to the end of the island. And we could have that in 5 years. Why does it matter? Not because I want to fill these pews. It matters because today Jesus affirms that there is eternal life. There is a resurrection. He affirms that some people will resurrect to eternal life with God, and some people will resurrect to eternal life without Him. And so it matters. It matters to the people we care about. And yet even that potential 6,200, that represents less than 15% of the people who live within our parish boundaries. That 6,200 represents a fraction of the people, of the souls in the city of Montreal. And as I said last week, it is God's dream that all be transformed, that everyone be saved. And so it matters. It matters to God. It matters to the people you care about. It matters to me. It matters because your kids need their lives transformed by an encounter with Christ. They need to know that God is real, that He loves them, that He sent His Son to die in order to save them. They need to recognize that there's more to life than simply getting a good job and buying a house. They need to know that accepting that love that Jesus offers them means that they get to live with peace and fulfillment no matter what life throws at them. They need to know that sacrificing for others, forgiving others, asking for forgiveness, those are not signs of weakness. They are, in fact, signs of character, of strength. And so it matters because your grown children need to hear it. Their children need to know it. It matters because your sister needs to know it. Your brother-in-law, oh boy, yeah, your brother-in-law, he really needs to know it. It matters because you need to know it too. That's why what we do here at St. Ignatius matters. That's why we try and bring people to that encounter with Jesus in Mass, in the atrium, and catch the wave for the kids, in Alpha and worship nights and connect groups, and in the sacraments. We want people to encounter Jesus. What we do has mattered to 97 people this past year alone. What we do in the future can impact so much more, can have such greater impact. It can transform our parish, our city, our church. Last week, I asked people to do some homework. I asked that you think about what your dream for the future was, for yourself, for your loved ones. And I asked you to pray about what God's dream is for you, what His dream for your future is, what His dream for your future in eternity with Him is. Do you want to find meaning and fulfillment? Do you want that for the people you care about in your life? Do you want those people? Do you want your children to become kind and caring and compassionate? Do you want them to find peace and joy in this life and eternal life in the next? This week, I happened upon this article in The Atlantic, a journal, and it dovetailed really nicely with the question I asked. It's entitled, "Stop Trying to Raise Successful Kids." And in it says, you know, if you survey American parents about what they want for their kids, more than 90% say one of their top priorities is that their children be caring. That's great. That's great. They want their children to be caring. But when you ask the kids, when you ask children what their parents want for them, 81% say their parents value achievement and happiness above caring. It's crazy. So often, what we say we want just doesn't align with what we actually do. And kids can see through that hypocrisy so easily. You know, we can say we want to be more generous, more caring of others. We can say we want to volunteer more, or I want to give more to charity. We can say that we'd like to become more patient, you know, spend more time with our family, find more peace in our life. We can say, you know, even things like read more. I really want to read more. You can even say, I want to deepen my faith. I want to pray more. I want to learn how to pray. So many of us don't know how to pray. We can aspire to those things. We can say, yeah, these are laudable goals. But what are you actually going to do to achieve those goals? What do you have to stop doing in order to achieve those goals? And what do you have to start doing? What's the plan? I went to the doctor on Friday, and he told me, I went for a regular checkup, and my doctor tells me, as he tells me all the time, he says, you should really think about losing some weight. I said, sure, I'll think about it. I've been on the think about it diet plan forever. The think about it plan is great. This is the before and after of a guy on the think about it diet plan. I can say I want to lose all the weight I want, but unless I change something about what I do, unless I get more exercise and stop the bad eating habits I have, it's not going to magically happen. And if it doesn't magically happen for something like losing weight, why do we expect it to magically happen for something like becoming more generous or learning to pray? If we want eternal life for ourselves, if we want it for our loved ones, we have to align what we say, what we do, to achieve the goals. Eternal life is offered to everyone. Eternal life comes from a transformative encounter with Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Eternal life comes from the decision to follow Jesus as he shows us the way, as he reveals to us the truth of what it means to be Christian, as we begin to live more joyfully, purposefully, peacefully, as we begin to live life to the full in Jesus Christ. That's the key to eternal life. It's coming to that encounter with Jesus and making the decision, the life-changing decision, to say yes, to follow him. So what are you going to do to get there? What's the plan? What are you going to start doing? What are you going to stop doing in order to start living for eternal life? Do you say yes when we propose something like Alpha or Connect groups or worship nights or the Sacrament of Reconciliation? Do you say yes, a real yes, to Jesus in the Mass, when he comes to us in his word, when he comes to us in the Eucharist, in his body, blood, soul, and divinity? And if you're part of those 97 people who've had that transformative encounter this past year, what are you doing to invite others to that encounter? What are you doing for the people you love? Do you even talk about it with them? The first time I had that transformative encounter with Jesus Christ was 28 years ago. 28 years ago. And I never talked about it with anyone. I was afraid to. And so I tried to figure things out on my own. And on my own, without talking to anybody, without actually ever really delving into this, I got like this far. It took me like 24 years to be able to really talk about it with people and to really explore what that means and what the consequences of it means. And since that time, it's amazing how I've been able to grow. Grow in my relationship with Jesus, grow in my understanding of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a priest. That has affected my ministry. For 24 years, I was on the Think About It plan for my life, the Think About It plan for my priesthood, and consequently, the Think About It plan for my parish. I had to stop thinking about it and start doing something. And so we started to make changes here at St. Ignatius. Changes designed to bring people to that encounter and let them make the decision to follow Jesus or not. Can't force that decision. But we can help bring people to that encounter. Next week, we're going to talk about how to engage in what we're doing. But for now, I'm going to ask you, what's your plan? What are you doing to achieve your goals? What are you doing to live for eternity? Are you still on the spiritual Think About It plan? I know life is stressful. I know you're busy. But what needs to change? What do you need to stop doing? Do you, as I said last week, need to stop trying to just deal with the seemingly urgent things in front of you and address the really important things you never seem to get to? To really think about how to achieve eternal life. Do you need to stop thinking of your faith as something that only happens here on Sunday mornings? Do you need to start praying more? Do you need to learn how to pray? There's no shame in that. But maybe that's what you need to learn. Maybe that's what you need to start doing. Do you need to start saying yes when someone invites you to Alpha, to worship nights, to connect groups? When someone invites you into the sacraments of the church, including that great sacrament of reconciliation that restores us as children of God. The Think About It plan will yield the exact same results you've always gotten. Do you want something more? Do you want something better? Do you want eternal life? Do you want that transformative encounter? What's the plan to get you there?